Dreams are the most underrated form of communication from the divine.
The other side of dreams is when God Almighty speaks to you and you see it and then you start to interpret it. I think the biggest thing people need to understand is how to interpret dreams. And the best one to do it is the one who had the dream.
Dreams are the most underrated form of communication from the divine. Especially when people aren't listening when they're awake, God will speak to them while they're asleep. Here's what it says in Job chapter 33. For God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not.
There it is.
In a dream, in a vision of the night, then he opens the ears of men and sealeth their instruction. And I think one of the keys is that we were created to operate with God in a place of rest. And we are so busy, we're so anxious, and we're so active. Sometimes when we're asleep, we're at the highest point of our faith because we're in complete rest.
So good.
And that's when God can speak to us. God speaks to us from a place of faith, from a place of rest.
From a place of faith to a place of rest. Hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong. I just now got back from Redemption Ranch and woke up at the crack of dawn and drove into a bright, burning orange spear for about 3.5 hours before I got here. And then, man, we've had an amazing time of prayer today. Some of my team came over to my office. We prayed. Then I got with all of our pastors and we prayed. Leanna was there. She was so sweet to me and we prayed together and that was really good. And then boom, why am I doing that? Well, I'm gearing up for my 10-day fast. And, tomorrow night begins my 10-day fast and I am a fat man and I have billions of cells that cry out and they don't understand what I'm doing every year. And I don't know why. Because I've been doing this my whole adult life. But with that said, man, I'm looking forward to here's what I know, Shay. Here's what I know, Shay.
Tell me what you know, Pastor.
If you seek God in a radical way, you will find him in a radical way.
Amen. That's true.
And if you seek God in a limp-wristed way, that's how he shows up. It's like, okay, well, you want just a little bit? Here's just a little bit, right? No, man, I want to seek God in a very radical way. And I look forward to that. Plus, I'm getting my prophetic word for the year to come and getting ready for our big New Beginnings conference, which is coming up.
So exciting.
And I was looking yesterday. Yeah. We have like, I think there's already 30-something states. Have you seen that?
That are represented?
Yeah.
Wow. No, I haven't seen those numbers.
Because we're also doing the ODX weekend, and there's 30-something states of people that have bought tickets. And
Doesn't surprise me.
It's going to be, guys, it will be the best New Beginnings conference I have ever had.
Yeah.
And I have 5 of my rescued kids that are now adults that we raised them all the way into their 30s are coming in from various nations to come in and talk about the day they got rescued, what it was like growing up with us, the craziness of being one of Papa Troy's rescue kids, right? And then, but they're all successful, incredibly successful business people now, and they're full of the Holy Ghost. And so we're bringing them in as well.
Yeah.
And then I'm doing a star party.
Yes, you are.
And we're having a redemption dinner.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think what else I'm doing. It's a bunch of craziness.
The redemption lunch is really, it's going to be really, really special. So I want to encourage people, if you are interested, check it out and get the ticket to that, because that's going to be a much more intimate time where you get to hear updates from Pastor Troy. You get to see pictures that we can't release publicly. It's really a special time and you will miss out on it if you're not in the room.
Well, and then whenever we do our star party, I'm going to be picking and grinning. And I'm going to be sitting up there with my guitar and picking and grinning, and we will just start going through how the constellations, how the heavens declare the glory of God. And I was just invited to come back to Blurry Creatures, and I'm going to be in Blurry Creatures the week after next. And I'm going out there and they're asking me to talk about how the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm actually doing 2 shows.
Are you so excited? That's literally your favorite, Blurry Creatures and the Star Party in one. Like, are you in heaven?
Yeah.
That's...
And then I'm talking about how God interacts with time.
That's awesome.
And we're going to be talking about all this 50 pound head stuff. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Okay, guys, I want to welcome you guys to episode 105. Buckle your seatbelts, because today my very good friend Kelly Copeland is going to be with, and I love Kelly. I love that girl. And she's actually here and you're going to find out. And so she and I are going to be talking about this last year, the new year to come, and we're just going to find out what else going on with her. And we're going to have a hootenanny.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I love Kelly. She's sitting right over there behind you. I can see her. I can see her.
She's
anyway,
awesome.
And then also it is 105. And so Shay gave me Psalms 105. Mm-hmm. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. talk of all of his wondrous works. And Lord, we're going to do that today. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. Yeah. All right. So I see that there's people from all over the planet Earth.
Yes, we got people from all over joining us. First of all, shout out to Calgary, Alberta, Canada, to Adele Marchenko watching. So
I bet
hello.
It's so cold up there right now. I bet it's so cold.
It's cold here, so I'm sure it's really cold there too.
Man, dude, listen, it was 84 degrees when I left here on Sunday. And then this morning, when I got up out of Redemption Ranch, it was 19. Yeah. It was 19 degrees.
What is it? Can you explain this Texas? Because I'm still new. And
yeah,
I'm
you're
like,
from Philadelphia, right?
Well, originally, but then, you know, I was California and Florida in between. So I forget about my Philadelphia
life.
Yeah, no,
man. It's just, it's radical.
It's so
cold. There used to be this prophet of God, and his name was Harold Taft.
Okay.
And he was the weatherman. He was on Channel 5. This is back when there was just three channels. And whenever he'd say that there was a cold front coming, he would say, there's nothing to stop it but a barbed wire fence in Kansas. It's going to change.
Wow.
And so you experienced it. Did you happen to be outside whenever that thing hit?
Well, I was actually I was at a wedding that evening, and I went into the wedding. I mean, wearing like, you know, a dress, an evening dress, and the door opened to go to the reception, and I was in a different state. Yeah. I was, what is going on? Like, it changed so quickly.
I love it.
It was pretty. Yeah, it was cool. I don't mind it.
I like anything radical.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I love it when a big cold front comes through. I like anything extreme and radical. And so I'm like, let's go. I want to see it happen. You know, and then boom, it actually happens.
Well, listen, shout out to you in Canada.
Yeah.
Pastor Troy loves the radical weather up there. But we also have Monica in Flagstaff. We got Robin Day in Arizona. We got Terry in Chile, Toledo, Ohio. Tracy in Blue Springs, Missouri. Wow. Am I Texan now? Pastor, you're wearing off.
Man, that's what I'm talking about.
Missouri.
Well,
it's code. I'm going to start saying it's code.
Yeah, it's code. You just don't have to say the L.
It's code.
So it's like, I told you so. Yeah. It's code outside. It's like C-O-D-E, right?
Code,
you just don't pronounce the L.
Yeah, there
That's
you go. We got Tanya in Liberty Hill, Texas. We've got Vicky in North Carolina. We got people tuning in from all over. So to continue to let us know where you're watching from. We love seeing all the different countries and states and cities represented in all of our friends.
Okay, so tonight we are dropping episode number 4
of...
Are wildly successful. I mean, it really is successful.
Praise the Lord.
It's the most successful video content that we've ever put out.
Praise the Lord.
And that's on you, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I'm very thankful. You know, Pastor Chris, we were just with one of our pastor of the food bank, Chris, earlier, and he said something. You know, he's like, I'm just scared I'm going to mess something up. And that's how I felt.
Oh, me too.
This whole time, I'm like, please, Lord, let this go well.
I tell everybody to pray for me. And when they say, how do I pray for you? And I tell them, just pray I don't mess it up.
Yeah.
All I got to do is not mess it up.
I'm like, it's a lot riding on it. It was a big deal. It was the biggest thing our team has ever undertaken. And I'm just so thankful to the Lord that it's been successful. So,
man,
yeah.
You know what my favorite thing about that whole show was?
What?
My makeup artist. Gosh,
she's
cool.
Best.
She's
I love
the best
her so
makeup
much.
Chick in the whole world.
She's
yeah.
So sweet.
If you guys look, man, I don't have all this gray. I don't have it all. And this was not that long ago. It's just, you know, they prop you up and they put makeup on you, and it's like, it's humiliating. It's horrible.
It's not.
It's horrible. It's a horror fest. Anytime that they put makeup on me, I'm hoping nobody's looking and all that. But anyway,
yeah,
I really
did
like
it. But I will say you're skinnier now.
I am skinnier.
You're skinnier now than you are.
And I'm about to be a whole lot skinnier than
you
that. Once we get done with this 10-day fast.
Yeah, so we're just thankful. But tonight is the 4th episode, and it's all on dreams.
Yep.
And I know people are going to love it because you guys love, anytime we talk about dreams, anytime you and your prophetic guys get together and you're talking dreams, we have so many questions that people submit. So I want to let you guys know, when you're watching the episode, if you have any questions about dreams you're having, about interpretations, about anything, put them in the actual comments of the video, because what we do is the following week, we have an after show, and Pastor Troy is going to go through those questions and answer as many as he can. So do not hesitate. Make sure you're interacting during the show.
And
because I know
when
you're
I answer
have
questions. Your questions, yeah. I send you a really cool prize.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not jacking around. I mean, we send cool prizes.
Yeah.
I mean, we do. Including, I don't know if you guys are aware of this or not, but with every counter episode, we have a Bible study and a prayer guide that goes with it. So this one is all about praying for your dream life.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay. Look, you told me, and it's okay, but you told me you actually had a bad dream last night.
I did. And I don't usually have, it's been a long time since I've had a nightmare. It was an actual nightmare.
Oh, we're not going to put up with that.
I
that's
know.
Not, that's not the new norm,
no.
right?
Mm-mm.
And so, man, I was looking at this and listen to this prayer and this declaration. I rebuke every tormenting spirit, every nightmare, every demonic force that tries to invade my night. Yeah. I plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, over our rest, over our imaginations. I speak peace over every child rescued from darkness and trafficking. Mm. 908 of them this year.
Insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, which that's, don't tell anybody.
I know. I was like, are we supposed to say that?
No, yet? I'm not okay. Supposed to tell anybody.
He didn't say
yet.
That. No one heard it, but just rejoice with secret. Us if you yeah, did hear.
They won't tell anybody. And anyway, it goes through the whole thing here. And then it has scriptures on the other side of it. And then it has activations. So it's like, what? Mm. You can literally watch the show and you get this daggum card and apply it to your life.
Yeah, it's so good. And I will say this episode in particular, I think it's just interesting how the enemy attacks you. It's not surprising. I was all day watching the episode.
Punk.
I literally was watching the episode, you know, scheduling reels and editing and all those things yesterday. And this episode really gives you practical tools for reclaiming the night. And I think that's going to be so transformational for people watching. Okay. It's really, really good.
So that's going to be a 7 p.m. tonight, yes. Guys. And look, I need y'all to go ahead and go to YouTube right now. We've mm-hmm. already kind of loaded it up there. Yep. And so
we'll put the link in the comments, guys. We'll put the link to tonight's episode so you can share it.
What do you call that whenever you put it up there, but you can't watch it yet?
It's the preview link. I don't know. The premiere. Thanks, Taylor.
The premiere. Okay. Yes. And while you're there, if you guys are watching on YouTube, here we have behind this corner right here, the much coveted 100,000, right? Okay, we are like a couple of hundred away from having 200,000. Yeah, boom is right.
And we have Kelly Copeland on today, so I think we might hit it today.
Come on, guys. So be sure and subscribe and make sure that you do that.
Yes.
Okay, I think that we have a video of that.
Yeah, of the counter. Do you want to show the teaser? Yep. Okay, let's show the episode 4 teaser, guys. This is just a taste of what you're going to see tonight on the counter, episode 4. Watch this.
She said, I am Nicaragua, come and feed me.
Wow.
And then boom, the dream was over.
Wow.
This cloud comes over to me and these like demonic hands come out of the cloud and they knock me down. They start dragging me into this office. And I'm being dragged across the floor, screaming for my dad to help me. And he won't even acknowledge I'm there.
People were worshiping. I could feel the presence of the Lord. I thought, man, this is the most incredible thing ever. I'm singing this song that I've never sung before. I've never heard it before. This is just absolutely incredible. I wake up from the dream and I'm still singing this song.
That's cool.
And then all of a sudden I stop singing it and the song is gone. And there was something in my heart that I had never had before. And that was desire to go back to church.
Mm. And I said, no, no, no. I'm holy. I walk with God. I'm in covenant with my bride. No, no, no. Well, then if you do that enough and that devil keeps showing up, you can do that in your dream. Stop. This is not going to go that direction.
Amen.
And you can literally stop your dream from going forward.
Mic on?
Yeah. There you
so
go.
That was so that's gonna be dropping tonight at 7 p.m. And I encourage you guys to go to it. Now it's gonna be across our social media and you'll be able to find it. But I'm just telling you guys, we've had so many people that have signed up with us now. Know this, we did all that so that we could actually rescue more kids. Mm-hmm. And like, well, what's that all about? If you listen, the episode is free across our YouTube, or at least the first 30 minutes of it is. If you want to watch the entire hour uncut, then you got to be a partner with us at odx.tv. And we have had thousands of people sign up.
Literally.
And like, that's a really big deal because, though it's not official, we have over 5,400 children under our care right this second. Mm-hmm. And the prices of everything has skyrocketed. And it about tanked us this year. Mm-hmm. And we were like, dadgummit. I mean, we had to fight the fight this year, but we didn't miss any. We didn't miss, you know, man, the Lord is faithful and he's good. But man, we're trying to get really creative in how we grow our partnerships so that we can rescue and raise mm-hmm. more and more and more children. Because I don't want to turn these kids back over to the government. Mm-mm. I don't like that. So I want to raise them. I want to grow them up in the admonition of the Lord. I want them to be family when they're in their 20s and 30s. And that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah. Amen. And so, and that's really what ODX is about. And the whole reason you say it all the time, you know, we do media so that we can rescue kids. And so that's the purpose of this. That's the heart behind all this. So that's why we're constantly trying to get people to join and become new members, because it's not just so you can have access to content. It's so you can help us rescue and raise more kids. So the more people we have on ODX, the more that we can do that. And do you want to do a couple shout outs real quick, Pastor Troy,
yeah,
to some of our new ODX? So some of our new ODX family, we've got two new lifetime partners, which is a huge deal. Samantha and David.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you guys so much. That is so incredible. Stage two partners, we've got Carla in Texas, Rensky in South Holland, Jamie in Maryland, Amy in Florida, Jacqueline in Australia. Whoa, hello. And then new stage three partners, Mary in Missouri, Maranatha from Texas, Stephen in Indiana, Rebecca in Wisconsin, Jerry Ann in Michigan. Those are just a few guys. Thank you so much for joining our ODX family, for signing up. Hopefully you've enjoyed the full hour episode of The Counter, episodes of The Counter, and just stay tuned for much more.
Okay. All right, guys, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to cut to our guest. And I have a very special guest today who I already told you guys, I really do love this lady. And she is like actually a really good friend of mine. She's been like a sister to me. Like as soon as I met her, I was like, oh, we're going to be friends for the rest of our life. And I was like, that's so cool. And I never imagined that. I never did. And I could give this big, huge monster introduction, but my highest endorsement that I can give for her, I just want to give that and just say she's truly an amazing mama. She is truly a super good friend to me, and she is also the very good friend of King Jesus himself. Guys, Kelly Copeland is here.
Yay! I'm so glad to be here.
I can't believe you. Man, thank you for coming.
Oh, best thing I could do today.
Oh, gosh. Well, it was a joy to see you, and I want to talk to you about a bunch of things, but we actually really do know each other, and we text each other back and forth. We know a lot of the same people. It's been a great privilege having you in my life.
Well, you guys were ministering to me before I ever met you, and I just felt so connected here, just because God was connecting me. You know, He can connect people that you need in your life, but when He connects you to the Word that you need, you're connected at a deep level. Like the first connection God gave me with you guys is that I needed the word that you were giving.
Wow.
And everybody can do that. Anybody can find out the words God has for you just by asking Him. I asked Him for help, and He said, I'm going to send you people to listen to. That was a kind of a surprising for somebody that's been listening to the word preached my whole life, and such a powerful word. But I think He's causing us all to be hungry for what we don't have. And that's going to cause us to grow up. It's time to grow up. You guys have helped me grow up.
Wow.
So thank you. Well, and then I got to meet you. That was just, I don't know, the icing on the cake.
It was. I can't remember who I was with. Who was I with? We were driving the road and we were just talking about you. I'm trying to think who it was.
Well, it had to be Alan or Joseph.
It was one of those cats. And I was like, let's just text her. And you immediately texted me back. And then you and your precious mama and my bride have been to go eat Mexican food a couple of places because we all have our favorite Mexican place, right? We've done that. So I don't know. I just appreciate you being in my life.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I'm just so grateful. And, you know, you can go down the next track. So, you know, I've been an ODX subscriber for, I don't know, a couple of years, I guess.
Thank you.
And it's life-giving, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so tonight we're dropping this episode on dreams. Are you much of a dreamer?
You know, I really never was, and I couldn't remember my dreams until I started connecting with the prophetic people that talked about dreams. So I started connecting with you guys and some other people God sent me. I started learning about my dreams, but I wasn't having dreams. So I didn't really start having important dreams until I connected with y'all. And since then, God's really shown me some powerful things in my dreams. And I've learned from you and from a few other people just how to read them, how to at least the basic elements of interpretation that seem to be almost all the time accurate. For instance, looking up the name of, not thinking about the people in your dream, but looking up their name. That's probably been the number one just self-diagnostic,
okay,
hearing a dream interpreted. Yeah. That's shocking when you put the definitions into the dream and into your life of their names. I had no idea. We didn't hear any of that. Learning Word of Faith, and which again, I'm so grateful for. But when you begin to learn all the parts of the body and not act like you don't need those parts because it's not what you know. I mean, it's sort of a no-brainer that we would need to know what we don't know, not that we only need to stick with what we know. It out loud, it seems, oh, yeah, I wasn't doing that. But when you say it out loud, that makes you go, wait, I need all of Jesus. Yes. And so that, my dreams have become, over the last 5 years, really an important part of my understanding of what God has for me, what he's called me to. That's the kind of thing, looking deeper in the things of God, thinking more about things I hadn't been thinking about, whether it was, you know, being hungry to know more about his true plans for in the rapture and not just saying, okay, that's what I heard, so that's what I believe. Part of what expanded me learning about what God's telling me about his plans right now. Some of that came out of my dreams.
Mm. Okay, so I've always been a dreamer, like a crazy dreamer. And I actually go through seasons of dreaming. So there'll be like a season where just like every night, you know, I'm like, okay, wow. Like I got to keep like a journal beside my bed. And as soon as I wake up, I've got to write it down because you will forget it, you know? And then go through seasons where I just don't dream. And like, Lord, what is that? And I've gone through this seasonal dreaming thing with God. But in heightened times that I was not dreaming and I was not hearing God speak in huge dreams, I would also have tons of people come to me and tell me, I had a dream. There is literally not a Sunday that I do not meet first-time visitors, and there's never a Sunday that somebody doesn't say to me, you came to me in a dream and told me to look you up. I'm like, I hear it every week. I'm like, you know that wasn't me, right? And they're like, well, it was you. I mean, it was. And I'm like, no, that actually wasn't me. I'm a representation of something in that dream. But the Lord does want you plugged into this ministry. Like, you gave me your name in a dream. Well, that's pretty wild for somebody to say, okay, I never heard of you before. And then I had a dream. You showed up in a dream and said, hey, my name's Troy Brewer. Look me up and then come out and see me in Texas. Now, that's like a different level thing. Because in my dream life, it's typically wildly prophetic and insightful, very, very, very insightful. But it's not like somebody talking to me. You know, it's not like, anyway.
We should be expecting God to use all the things at his disposal.
Yes.
Like, whereas he used to have to appear to people and maybe send angels, explain a bunch of stuff. Now he can just say, go to YouTube and watch Troy Brewer.
Yeah, exactly.
Why wouldn't he do that?
Of course he would.
And why wouldn't he even do that to people that we think are impossible to reach?
Mm.
You know, people in Muslim countries.
Yes.
Or, you know, maybe that person who is a star or someone on TV and you think they would never watch Christian television. Well, God's not totally reliant on people just making their way naturally to the right answers. He can just plop. He calls people, you're called.
I feel Jesus
right now.
He calls
your name.
This is powerful.
I think he's calling people's name.
Yes.
He's calling them up.
He is calling them up. Yeah, I've had a couple of crazy cool dreams. I had a dream, and I actually shared this on a broadcast that we're doing tonight, where, okay, Kelly, I dreamed that I saw Leanna and I sleeping in the bed that we actually sleep in, exactly the way that we were sleeping. And then I like became myself in the bed and I looked right and I could see all the way through the wall and I could see way past the horizon. I could see past the curvature of the earth.
Mm.
And about right there at about 5 o'clock, I could see that there was this light that was headed to me from somewhere in Central America. And it was coming super fast. And I thought, oh, I'm about to have a visitor. So I got up, left my bedroom. I opened up the front door, and I can see this light is coming. It comes over the horizon, and then it's going super duper duper fast. And as soon as it gets like a few feet away from me, it stops and it goes into real time. And this beautiful woman is walking up to me, and she said, hello, Troy. And I was like, wow. I was so struck by her. There was two things that did not make any sense that were so extreme. Number one, she was so loved of Jesus. She was just so beautiful. She was so loved of Jesus, and she belonged to the Lord. And I just wanted to start crying. I was like, I could see how much the Lord loved her. It's like, wow. But she also was like super dope skinny. I'm talking about like the skinniest person you've ever seen. And both of those things, though they don't go together, they were both happening at the same time. And she said, hello, Troy. And I said, hi. And she said, do you know who I am? And I said, no, ma'am, I don't. And she said, I am Nicaragua. Come and feed me.
Mm.
And then boom, woke up. And I started seeking the Lord. I started crying out to God. And I went, I know that was his church. I know that that was the body of Jesus in Nicaragua. That was the bride of Christ. And so I was like, well, I haven't been in Nicaragua in 20 years. Like, I don't know what to do. This is like 7 years ago or 8 years ago. Not even a month goes by. I think like 2 weeks went by, and I was playing guitar on stage here. And this short little fat old man came walking in front of me, and he looked up at me, and I said, hey, and I just stopped. I said, hello, sir. I'm Troy Brewer. And Les Oates said, hey, man, this guy's a big old bishop down in Nicaragua, man. And he comes here and wants to see it. And I looked at him. It was the guy that I had stayed in his house 20 years ago. And he had no idea that my church had blown up. He didn't recognize me because I used to be a 400 pounder. I was worldwide before the internet. And he was like, Troy? And I was like, Roger. And then I was like, what are you here to ask me for? And he said, I need to build a food bank. And I mean, the Lord made it happen. Yeah. I mean, like 2 weeks later. So we have a food bank in Nicaragua that feeds 100,000 people a month. And all of that happened because of a dream.
Well, that dream made you ready to understand what was happening in the moment when you saw him. Because we can just pass by things.
Oh, yeah.
Let moments pass us by if we're not made aware by the Lord and by the Spirit in some way. Dreams do good for that. Or give you something to receive. Like you obviously you received that as a call without even knowing what you'd be exactly doing.
It's like he slips into our
space where there's no in our dreams. There's no there because it's not here. It's a yes. He got a yes from you, and that you didn't even know what you're saying yes to.
I met with all my board after that. Mm. I met with all my board, and I told him, I said, you guys need to pray, because I told him, I said, go back and give me a dollar figure of what you need. Mm. And I said, I'm telling you right now, if he asks for $1 million, I'm going to give it to him.
Wow.
And we don't have it. I said, I had a dream, and the Lord told me. I had been invited to feed Nicaragua, and I had my board and I had all my financial teams. I said, you guys better pray, because whatever that guy asked me for, I'm going to give it to him. And everybody was so scared and everybody was freaking out over it. And I told him afterwards, he made the ask, and it was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And it was. And then it was a big monthly commitment. And I told him afterwards, I said, Pastor Roger, if you would have asked for $1 million, I would have given you $1 million. And he said, I need to change my request.
Wow. Well, I love what you said, Ms. Kelly, about he put that in front of you when you didn't have a no in your spirit, when you had the yes, like in your dreams. Because one of the things that we talk about in the episode tonight on the counter is how the enemy will use your dreams to establish a compromise. And like, so he'll come when you're being attacked on the negative in your dreams. You'll be presented in situations that are maybe bad or would be a time of compromise. And so the enemy is trying to establish that, the proof of compromise. So if you're faced with something in the natural, it feels familiar and you're more likely to compromise. But I love that you said that, because that's the other side of it. That's God using your dreams for your yes.
Well, Satan's doing the same thing. And it's redeeming.
It's so cool. Yeah.
He wants your yes to the fear or the, you know, he wants you to latch on to that fear place or the future that he has for you.
And I love that. I love that expecting, hey, God, tonight, like, come to me and and like present me with a situation where I have to have a yes. Like, yeah. I love that. I love redeeming that. That's so cool.
That's good.
My daughter Emily used to have pretty bad night dreams, and we started praying before bed, pleading the blood of Jesus over her sleep, asking the Lord to give her dreams from Him and no bad dreams. Pretty simple prayer.
Yep.
And you know, I think she only had a couple more bad dreams when we would pray that. But when we would pray that, she would wake up. Mm-hmm. And also, I'd really encourage her to talk to Him at night, and taught her to verbally talk out loud to Him, and then wait for Him to talk to her. And so one time I was like, we were doing that, and I give him a minute to talk back, you know, and she said, I said, what did he say? Because I could see her eyes going like this. She's just at like 8 or 9 years old. And her eyes are moving like she's in conversation with Jesus. Wow. And I said, what did he say? She goes, shh, you're interrupting him.
I love that.
But that connection at bedtime now has with the Lord is just, it's still there. But the dreams stopped. The nightmare stopped.
Yeah.
And I think we can control. I mean, we can speak into what happens to us at night.
Take authority.
Yeah, not only can you speak into it, but also, too, you can get into a place where you can get, you know, lucid, where you can literally go, no, stop. I'm not dreaming this anymore. I'm
inside
done dreaming this.
Inside your dream?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. Mm-hmm. And I promise you I can do that. It is very rare that I have a dream that I don't have a say so in how the dream goes.
Wow.
You know, for me, you know, me being a guy, if I any kind of sexuality in a dream is so pointless to me, and I do not want every single man in this church deserves to have a pastor that does not lust after their wife. And I'm like, I'm adamant about that. All I do is rescue kids out of terrible, terrible sexual things. And it's like, there has to be real purity in your life concerning that.
Well, I was going to say, because you see so many people that don't take care of that end of it. They get so messed up trying to serve people.
Smarter people than me, better people than me, have got so messed up. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to. I'm really pretty loose, actually, on a lot of things. But when it comes to any kind of sexual environment, I'm like, no. I have authority in this kind of thing. And no, I'm using my authority. I'm shutting it down. Mm-hmm. And to have like a dream, especially, you know, when I was a lot younger, to have a dream, and if it started to have like a sexual spirit with it, I learned real quick of, I'm not dreaming this. I'm not doing this. And then I thought, I would think about the next day and go, I shut that dream down in my dream. I'm operating in an authority even in my dream life. Mm-hmm. And like, man, that's cool. You know,
how do you step into that? Like, is it to begin to? So imagine that once you start doing that, then it's not something you have to like begin. But when you begin to want to have that kind of authority in your dream, what do you do? Is it a prayer before? Or is it just taking authority during the daytime? Where do you step into that?
So it's a little bit of, it's several things, but I want to tell you what it all comes down to. It comes down to an awareness of your identity, even in the midst of dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Identity.
And so I think that it is a big time identity issue. And so
it would be good for all of us to know that we belong to Him before we close our eyes.
Amen. Yes, ma'am. And like, I don't dream this. I don't think that. I don't look at that. I don't participate in that. And I'm not going to be duped into thinking I do for a little while.
Yeah.
Because that's something else too, man. Deception really makes me mad. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get very upset and mad, wanting to beat the devil's eyes shut over just deception. Like, no, you don't get to get away with deceiving me like that. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am. And those kinds of just protecting your heart and protecting your mind, and then actually being having a protective posture of your dream life, I think, is a really big deal.
That's important.
It is important. And then I'll give you a whole nother level to it, Miss Kelly.
Okay, bring it.
Is this, okay, if you start interpreting your dream life and you start literally thinking about it all the time, let me tell you the best way you can hear God speak to me, I'm just going to talk about Troy Brewer, okay? The best way I hear God speak is through everything going on around me, because I look at it and I say, if that was a dream, what would it mean? Mm. So it's normal for me to interpret everything going on around me and to have like this wild kind of situational awareness that's supernatural as if I was dreaming, but I'm not. Like, well, if I was dreaming and I saw that car and it had that bumper sticker and it had that license plate on it, and if I dreamed that, would I know what that means? I'm like, I wouldn't know what that means. Well, it's not even a dream. It's right there in front of me.
I've heard you talk about that. For instance, like with coincidence, something coincidental seemingly. Yes, and you're like, if I dream that, what would it mean?
Yep.
And that,
if that was a dream,
that's very
what
powerful.
Would it mean?
I really think it's being aware of what the Lord's saying to you it all is. The time.
Yes, which I love that. Well, yeah. I love that. I love how God speaks to us through everything going on around us. And there's a scripture for that, and it's Romans 1:20. And that first stuck out to me because it's a 120. So 120s are a big deal to me. And I can tell you if you want to know what 120 means, but biblically. But Romans 1:20 says that the invisible things of him, so for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans 1:20 says there's no excuse for not hearing God speak, because he's talking, he's revealing the most invisible things through everything going on around you.
You know, that was really, it's funny that you brought that up, because that's not funny. And so it's just, but it makes me think of something that I was seeing in John that I've never seen before. Because I started over the summer just sitting down with the Word, and you know, I'm, in my life as a Copeland and growing up in ministry, our deal is mass consumption of the Word all the time. Like, you don't just sit down to read one scripture. You are like mass consuming it. If you're going to sit down, you need to read a chapter, right? Which is great. But I have approached it this year in kind of a different way. And that would be, someone suggested this journaling type reading that you just read till something jumps out at you. And that's what we call it, jump out. And it's really just another word for rhema. Because when you're reading and it pings you, that means you got a rhema on the inside.
So good.
And so I can't get more than, I'm still working my way through John since this summer, and I can't get more than like a verse or two in. And I'm like, I've never seen that. So that scripture makes me think, I was like, okay, if you ask me what I want to talk about, which you didn't, but if I just make it quick.
Talk about whatever you want to.
But you know, when John's talking about God and with Moses and the children of Israel put the serpent on the pole, and if anybody looks at this, they will be healed, right? Well, the whole point of that is the whole context of a message John is delivering here, and the whole point of that is look. Put your eye there. And he was making healing visible to the children of Israel, who didn't have a big context for even making himself visible when he brought them to two mountains to make himself visible. And people always think, well, he brought them out there to punish them or whatever. Whatever they thought it was, really, it was, they've been in captivity 400 years. They're going to have a come to Jesus meeting real quick. And these two mountains, God's going to say, this is it. This is not it. This is life. This is death. Choose this, right? And instead of that being such a simple thing, it became Satan injected the distractions in there, and they got off. It could have been simple. Because he's just trying to tell them, this is how, 10 commandments are just how you live with God. This is how you live with God in your life. You don't covet somebody else's wife. You go to me. This is how live with God, not in slavery. And so then John starts talking about, John the Revelator, not John the Baptist, but he's talking about how people love darkness more than the light. But if you step into the light, if you love the truth and you embrace the truth, you're going to get the light. And then he tells an example of Jesus's ministry. And that's Jesus is ministering downstream or upstream, wherever it was. And people are flocking there, and they've left John the Baptist. And there was still some water there. There were still a few people coming, but his disciples are just concerned, and they try to stir up this competition. Did you know? This is an emergency. He's doing more than you are. And he says, a person cannot receive anything, nothing, unless God bestows it. He flips it right back to what he had been saying. Behold the Lamb. Keep your eyes on the Lamb. And this is what meant so much
so
to
good.
Me. He said, you've heard me tell you that I am not the Messiah, but I am the messenger. He knew who he was,
yep.
And he knew what he was purposed to do because he had been beholding the Lamb. He said, I am the friend of the bridegroom. And he said, who stands nearby and listens with great joy to the bridegroom's voice. Like he knew his identity and he knew his assignment. So when Satan tried to come in there and insert something different, he already knew. And this is how he's doing battle. He's doing battle in the daytime. Mm. Like you're like keeping your eyes on him and your ear geared to hear in the midst of everything what Jesus is saying to you. But listen, I've never seen this before. He said, because of his words, my joy is complete and overflows. There's so much life in that. If you feel joyless, if you feel like you're depressed, if you feel like, and you're having nightmares, but your daytime is a nightmare too, go dig into his words.
Come on, sister.
Because when I'm reading now and I'm just looking for that spark from the inside, that means I'm reading with him and he's going to show me something here that I didn't see before. And I'm just reading along. I'd never noticed this. He is employing what he had been telling everybody to do when the temptation, and I think, Troy, the temptation to be jealous, the temptation to be a narcissist, prideful, egotistical, wounded, offended. It's two sides of the same coin. And that's what Satan is trying to get us distracted with. And when it came, he just knew his words are where my joy comes from. Mm. And back to, he says, nobody can have anything unless he bestows it. And that's the same as the serpent on the pole. And I just think the temptation to get distracted, deflected, you know, feel deserted is so great right now because Satan's trying to get us out of the flow of what Jesus is. If we just get in the flow, it's not hard. It's not as hard as we make it to keep flowing with him. He's so good.
He's so good.
And I just want to encourage everybody today just that it's not, just put your eyes on him. You don't even have to do the hard work of being resistant to sin if you are resistant to sickness if you look at him. He is the resistance. That was felt so Star Wars.
Would you pray for everybody? Would you pray for everybody
course,
concerning
yeah.
that? Would you
yeah.
do that? Because I mean, we have friends all over the world. I mean, literally all over the planet. So
they were wanting to know what passage in John that was.
Oh gosh, I was all over the place. It was John 3.
John 3. John okay. 3. John 3, Debbie.
But it was John 3 in 27, 28.
Okay, it was so
29,
good.
30, where John the Baptist was saying all these things. And he just had said, think about him. He was like, one's coming, one's coming, one's coming. And then the next day, bam, he's like, oh, I've never thought about what a moment that was
so
of
good.
Like justification. Like he's been crazy out there and he eats weird. He looks weird. He lives outside the city and he just keeps saying he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's describing something different than anybody's ever seen. And all of a sudden he's there. And then the proof comes, the voice of God comes, the anointing comes, the Spirit comes. And I think we're here at another level. And ministries like this one are telling you it's changes here. Things are changing. And that would leave, Satan would like for that to leave you nervous and thinking I'm not good enough, my life's not good enough. That's exactly what he's here for, is your not good enough life. And so just right now, just lift that up to him. Lift up your 2025. You may be still worried about 2020. You know, give him that. Give him all the last 5 years. Give him the mess. Give him the best in the mess. Mm-hmm. Because all of it is worship. Mm-hmm. And give him the 2026 already before you ever step a foot into 2026. Let's just give it to him today and put our eyes on him. The life, the light, the gift, the love, the one that loves you completely. So, Father, we just thank you for our King Jesus, the shepherd of our lives, the one who loves us, the one you chose. You chose to love the world by sending us a Savior. You chose to love the world by not condemning it, but by sending the one with the message of your love. And so right now, we just, by faith and on purpose, receive you, Jesus. We receive you as our shepherd. We receive your anointing to save us. And maybe we've been born again in the past, but you're a daily Savior. You're a minute-by-minute Savior. You're a Savior when we're asleep. You're a Savior when we're awake. You're a Savior when it's good and when it's bad. And we thank you, Lord, that we just give you everything that we are, everything that we have, every good thing we've done, every negative thing we've done or said. And we just, we ask you for forgiveness, and we receive your forgiveness. We thank you that when you prayed, our Father who art in heaven, you prayed in tandem with us. And when you said, forgive us of our sins, you joined yourself to our sin. And when you said, forgive those who trespass against us, you not only joined me in that trauma or the pain or the hurt from someone else, you joined that with me, but you joined me to bring me to healing. He joined you in hurt and sin and trauma, and he is 100% linked in and locked with you when you need to forgive. You forgive with him. He's he's forgiving with you. He's receiving healing with you. He's in it with us. That's why God the Father sent him. So just say yes to that today. No matter how long you've been walking with him or you're just now hearing about him, just receive him totally into your entire existence, spirit, soul, mind, will, emotions, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.
My goodness. Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
So good.
Jesus, we love you so much. Today's just been like such a great prayer day for me. I had a 3.5 hour drive in today from the ranch, and I prayed the whole time coming here, and then got here just as soon as I get into my prayer, I just start to have an encounter with the Lord. And he's showing me things, and he's talking to me about things. And thank you. Thank you for bringing your anointing and your presence with you, and thank you for that.
A sweet spirit, I feel.
Yeah, it is.
Just such a sweet spirit. Today.
She has the gift of real. She just like, you know, I do. She's got the gift of real, and she's also the friend of God. And I mean, it was something that something Pauline told me last year. She said, "Troy, everybody gets around you wants to be the friend of God. You're such a friend of God. Everybody wants to be the friend of God." And I was like, "Wow!" And I just started bawling. And like, I am the friend of God, and I praise God for that. But I want to tell you, you also have this friend of God thing that I just so love. And just like, I want to be a better friend to God when I'm around you, Kelly.
Well, I think for me, the change in that for me was when I let him, I opened up my heart deeper. The things we try to hide from him or think we are not good enough for him, those are the areas where you open up a door to friendship. It's the real places in our lives outside of the religion, outside of you need to do this and you need to do that. We just need him.
Yeah, we need him.
We need him.
Here's how you know if you're the friend of God or not is, can you do life with him? You know, can you do life with him? And
I feel like that's what 2026 is going to show us.
Me too. I'm about to start prophesying into that, and I don't need to. I'll do a whole other show. But you have some questions or some comments?
We've had a few fun comments that I wanted to read. First up, from the real brother, Kelly Copeland introduced me to Papa Troy, so he's very thankful to that.
Awesome.
I love that. We also had Rhonda Peck said, can you thank Kelly for making videos we used to watch with the kids in the 90s how we pray for others amidst crisis and persecuting society. So I thought that was really cool.
Wow.
And then Tanya, over 30 years ago, Gloria Copeland was in my dream, prayed for me and changed my life. God is amazing. So I just thought that was so cool.
I love that.
I do too.
We're all connected.
I do too. I'm going to start just bawling. I just need to quit it. I need like a testosterone shot or something, man. I'm like, got too much estrogen going through me right now.
Oh my goodness. Like,
gee whiz, do not start bawling. I hate to cry for anybody.
It's a sweet spirit. And you can cry, Pastor. You can cry.
No, I know I can. And I have the freedom to do that. I do that. But it's just butt ugly.
It's okay.
I'm just a... It's a horrible
look.
I've
ugly cried for you.
People think I'm like in heaven. I'm in cardiac arrest or something when I start crying. And it's just painful for everybody. I don't want to inflict that upon people.
Oh, well, we all like it.
Yeah, we don't mind it. You have to be tough in a lot of the situations that you deal with.
So yeah,
it's fine to not be all the time.
Well, I don't want to carry this over too. I'm going to be respectful of your time, but I actually have I have special places of mourning to go to meet Jesus, to mourn with me over things. Mm. And, you know, just pastoring a church kills a lot of people, and it's like the easiest thing we do. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot, you know, there's just a lot.
Well, as soon as you start taking out, you've gotten behind the enemy gates and you're taking people out. That's another kind of level of target
level
on your back, you know, in the spirit. But you're so deep in the spirit of God that it hasn't, like you said, you have to be watchful over your life,
yep,
so that you're not messing with the the devils, allowing the devils to come in that you're fighting.
Yes.
And but I love how you because you belong to Jesus. Because you're his friend, it puts you in a safe place.
Amen. Mm. There are times that I will tell Deanna, I'm going to go out to the ranch and I'm going to go. There's some things that I got to keep my heart broken before the Lord. And there's some things that have been like, you know, I mean, one of the worst things in the whole world is to, in dealing with our kids and dealing with the things that we deal with. Like this year, I was going over the numbers this morning. We were a part of 371 trafficking cases this last year, 371. And so, which means we were responsible for making sure that the trafficker went to jail, which means they used our teams to collect all the information of everything that has happened to this kid and to actually watch it happen and the whole nine yards. Well, man, I read those transcripts. I have seen the videos. I have heard the tapes, and it is the worst thing. And then you know those kids for years and years and years and years and years. And some of them I have already known for years, and the case is just now coming around. And so you have to review these things with the prosecuting attorneys and with the prosecution. And you just sit in there like, I know that little boy. I've known him for years. And then you know the details of what's actually happened to him. And it's you have to be determined. You will not be impressed with evil. Mm-hmm. You have to be very determined of, yep, I knew what that was before I came in here and this, that. But also what's real is I have to come before Jesus sometimes and I'll drive. It takes 3.5 hours drive from Burleson or from Glen Rose to get out there. And I'll drive all the way out there and I'll say, Lord, I need to meet you in my morning place. Because I'm going to let this genie out of the bottle when I get up there and come before the Lord in this cry of anguish over what I've seen and over what I've been a part of and over these kids. And as soon as I get there, he'll meet me in that spot and I feel the presence of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And like, I can't live with this. And I also I don't trust myself with this. And I don't trust everybody else with this because it's kind of like Jesus saying, watch and pray that you're not tempted. That word tempted literally means pray that you don't freak out when you see how I'm fixing to come before the Lord. So I'm going to sweat blood and it's going to be something. I'm going to take the sins of the world upon me and I'm fixing to do that. And a lot of people think that he did that on the cross. He did that on the garden and then he took it to the cross. And he's like, pray that you're not tempted. And it literally means pray that you don't freak out. And so I know that. And I will meet the Lord in a mourning place. And I will come before him and I'll say, this, that. And the Lord will heal me.
Mm, wow.
I'm talking about right then heal me.
That tells me that you don't do any of this in your own strength. Mm. You're not doing it thinking with bravado or, you know, your masculinity and your power. But people do that. People attack that sort of thing.
Yes.
And then you see them publicly get crushed under the weight of it because they
it'll kill you.
Even though they are strong people, you still cannot go at any of that. You have to be so grounded in his presence, which you are. So grounded in his love. You don't do this because you hate. You do it because you love. You are so grounded in his word. And, of course, that's the strength that my family has been called to bring to the body of Christ is just to be grounded in his word, in his integrity. My dad and mom have preached faith. You know, they're not prosperity preachers. They are teaching faith in God, faith in his word. That has a stability in it, a covenant stability, and you walk in that so beautifully. And when you're grounded and you're rooted in the blood of Jesus and you're rooted in his name, inside his name, those are the ingredients that have made this ministry. I feel like God trusts you. He trusts you and Leanna, and he trusts all the people working with you to step into this because of those things. And I trust your ministry and your friendship.
Thank you.
And
that means a lot to me.
We'll continue to.
it means a lot to me. It's very, very, very humbling. You know, because I'm, you know, we've had a lot of wins, and we've also had a lot of fails through the years. There are kids that we tried to rescue that we couldn't. And there was one little girl that there was a surveillance thing on her for months and months and months and months and months. And I was like, when are we going to rescue her? Well, we can't because of this. And then one day, I prayed over her. I just loved that little girl. I couldn't wait until the moment I saw her and tell her, I've been watching you for months. You know, Jesus has been watching you. And then she just disappeared before we could get her. And that's probably, I want to say it's probably like 19 years ago. I still think about her all the time. I still think about several kids that we were determined to rescue and we just weren't able to do it, you know, and it's heartbreaking. And so I have to be able to come before the Lord and say, I need to mourn. And Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Mm-hmm. That's what he says. He says, I got a special blessing for you if you'll mourn with me. And so I do, and he does it, and it's just incredible. I wish everybody had that. I really do. Mm-hmm. I wish every Christian knew how to come before the Lord and mourn. You know, this crying I'm doing right now is just because of his presence, just because I just love his presence. But I mean, to be able to come before the Lord and mourn and go, okay, I need to give this to you somehow.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what to do with it. And this would be too much if I didn't have you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And we all have those things. To be able to come before the Lord and mourn and be comforted. Mm. And he will do it, I promise you.
It's funny how he'll bring things up out of my past that I thought I just forgave, you know, I'm like, I forgave that. And he was like, no, you didn't. Because just going through the verbiage or just sticking something in your back pocket and not thinking about it anymore is not, he said to me one time, because he brought up this situation, he said, you didn't forgive. And I really thought I had. And he said, you just put it behind you. And he said, because you didn't do it with me. He said, you don't get supernatural forgiveness if you don't do it with me.
Come on.
And so there's places that we think we dealt with even, and he'll just bring them up. I was just driving my car and I'm pulling up into my driveway, and I have a kind of a wall where I pull up in that driveway. And it was almost felt like it was one of those, I was almost like I was dreaming, but it was like I was hitting my wall with my car. I mean, I wasn't, but it felt I just hit a wall, but it was that wall was standing there and it felt like physically, but so it was a wall in here. He said, you're not going any further carrying this.
Good.
And I think just we're talking about daily awareness, being aware when those moments he's capturing your attention and you may be doing something else.
Yep.
Just stop and let him lead you through that salvation and that mourning that is needed, or that forgiveness or whatever it is.
I'm actually scared to death to have unforgiveness in my life. I'm actually fearful of it. Like I mean that in a, I promise you, in the right way. I'm fearful. I really fear the Lord when it comes to unforgiveness. And like, I do not want to have unforgiveness in my life. I do not. You know, it's just such a joy to talk to you. And I before we get done here, I know that you got a book, right? So what is your last book?
I know you released it a couple of years ago, but I felt like we needed to share it because there truly has been such a presence here since you've been here. And it's just a sweet spirit. And your book, Awake to His Presence, is 30 devotionals with a guided journal. And I feel like for everyone watching today, if you're sensing what we're feeling here in the studio, please, I want to encourage you to pick up her book. And bring this. I truly believe that people will feel this presence as they go through this book, and it will help guide them into His presence in a deeper way. So you can get it on Amazon. Do you prefer people to get it on your website?
Either way.
Or anywhere? Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've got her website that we can get on the screen.
It has Open Door
as well.
In the subtitle.
That's true.
Yes, the Open Door to the Secret Place. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just want to encourage people, pick it up.
I want my secret place in Jesus to grow so much. I mean, I really do. I really do. And I got super busy for several months this year and walked out of my secret place in a really big way, and I got bad trouble over it. I got bad trouble. Talking about I got a spanking, and I don't know if you know you guys get spankings for Jesus, but I'll tell you right now, He will spank me. He will get a hold of me. And say, I told you that. And it's like, really? You're going to walk away from like, I didn't realize it. I just have been so busy. It's like, and I was like, and he's like, well, yeah. Well, so who's going to do that for you? You're 59, right? Aren't you like 50? Aren't you like grown up now? You're almost 60 years old. Like, yes, sir. And he's like, okay, well, who else is going to do that for you? And I'm like, wow. Like, yeah, I don't want to give that up. I don't. I just, especially for the madness of a workload, mm-hmm. you know, ugh. I want to say to all that. So I want my secret place to really grow in the Lord this year. All right. Kelly Copeland.
Yes, sir.
I'm so grateful for you coming down.
Well, I'm just across town. Call me anytime.
Man, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
How does everybody find your stuff and just find you? And they're like, oh my gosh, I forgot how awesome she is. I need to look up her stuff.
How do we do that? I serve my parents at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So I'm there, but I also have my website, KellyCopeland.com. So
I got to say this about your dear old daddy and the difference he's made in all of our lives mm-hmm. and your mama. But your dad's really special to me because he and I both share the same birthday.
Yes, you do.
Oh, that's cool.
We had the same exact birthday.
We were talking about you this morning.
Was you?
Yeah.
I love him. You know what? I went to a recent event and he was there and he spoke so well of me from the stage. I wanted to crawl under the table. I was like, please talk about somebody else. I was like, there's such great people here. Your daddy has always been so good to me. Every time I've seen him, he's been so good to me.
Well, we're all connected.
Yeah. Well, I bless you.
Bless
and
you
I thank
too.
God for you. Thank you. All right. You want to take us out?
Yeah, I just want to remind everyone, first of all, that tonight, The Counter Episode 4 is going to be premiering at 7 p.m., and it's all about dreams. Don't forget to leave your comments, your questions during the episode, because on our after show next week, Pastor Troy will answer those questions. And I know you're going to have them, guys.
In brilliance.
Absolutely brilliant.
I will. In profound prophetic brilliance.
Profound
and
prophetic.
All humility.
Yes, and yeah. I love that. So yes, don't forget that. Also tomorrow at Open Door Church, if you are in the area, Pastor Greg Locke is going to be here.
Okay.
For New Year's Eve.
Greg Locke is going to be here at the Open Door Pulpit. I've been trying to get this guy here for a long time. I finally became good friends with him this year.
Yes.
I love this cat. I have done, I did four conferences with him this year. And I love him. I was like, wow. And so he's going to be here to help us wrap up the year 2025. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so good. So make sure that if you can't make it here, you can tune in online, of course, on YouTube. Join us virtually. But if you're anywhere near the area, what better way to celebrate New Year's Eve than with us, with all your friends here at Open Door.
And James Stewart, who's wanting to know when I'm going to be in St. Augustine. Dude, I thought... I want to tell you, Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life is a masterpiece. Thank you for your work.
Oh my gosh.
And just that's what a cool name, Jimmy Stewart, man.
Oh, that's funny.
I love that. Do you know there's a movie coming out about Jimmy Stewart next year?
No.
About his whole life. Yeah, it's just called Jimmy, is what it's called.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, sure is. I don't know, my friend. I don't know when I'm gonna be in St. Augustine. I really don't. But I'll have to look and see.
Yeah.
All right.
Could be soon. Do you want to end with a reel from episode 4 tonight? Yep. Or do you want to end with a commercial? Yep. Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, then let's, anything else you want to say, Pastor, before we wrap up?
No, I need to quit talking. I'm just going to talk.
Well, Miss Kelly, thank you again for joining us. This was so special. And as we leave, we're going to leave you with one more sneak peek at tonight's episode of The Counter. It's all on dreams, guys. Take a look at this. And don't forget, we'll be right back here tomorrow at 1 p.m. for Pastor Troy's final word of the year. So don't miss it. We'll see you tomorrow.
I think that a lot more prep needs to go into stewarding the night. And so the way I think that we really begin to steward the dream realm is we do that actively just before we go to bed.
Oh, that's smart.
And we really need to take greater authority, especially with our children. So if our children are having nightmares, night terrors, almost traumatized and afraid to go to bed, this is a good opportunity for parents to understand their authority and teaching their children about their authority. But it's not just something that you pray occasionally or in negative dark seasons. You pray it every single night. And what happens is it forms a jurisdiction for heaven. Mm-hmm. And the enemy can't cross those lines. You see it over and over and over again. People that have been tormented with horrible dreams, it shifts almost immediately. But sometimes, if not immediately, within 2 to 3 days, they will have cleaned up the dreamscape and God will begin speaking to them.